Fremantle Dockers CEO Simon Garlick joins us on the program. Good morning to you, Simon.
Clint, thanks for having me on.
How tough has it been the last week for you? We heard from Adam Simpson of the West Coast Eagles a short time ago saying the most difficult week he's had in footy. What about for yourself?
Yeah, I think that'd be an accurate characterisation. I think Simo and I came into the game. Actually, it would have been the exact same year. We were both drafted in the 93. So heading towards a couple of decades in footy, nothing like a number of others, but that was as tough as I've had. Not for me, you know, on a portion, any sympathy or empathy incorrectly here. Just so many good football people within our club and across the code have been impacted so significantly. And as you three would all know, that's what footy is. It's just about the people. The game's magnificent and we all love it. But the reason we love it is because of what you go through with people within the organisation. So to have such a profound impact on so many people is clearly the reason why it's been so challenging.
Can you give us an insight into what it's like, what impact it has had, particularly at Fremantle? Who's left at the club now?
Yeah, we've got about, just to give you an insight, from a club of 105, say, full-time equivalent resources, we've got 25 that are remaining in what's obviously a skeleton staff across both football and in reality, what is a priority for us as we move forward in a number of our different commercial and communication areas. So it was literally just a process whereby we had to look at removing as much cost, as much of the cost base as we possibly could without through the organisation, and then look to just maintain that bare bones level of staffing to get us through the short term whilst we have no football. So it really was a matter of looking objectively at, okay, what roles are required and how can we fulfil them, spending as little as we can in the meantime, just so we can stabilise. You know, our priority was clearly our club, so that we can steady the ship, for want of a better term, through this immediate downturn and period. And that's happened across the code before we, you know, build back up again as to the time frame when we're required to, with players coming back on deck and playing footy, hopefully sooner rather than later.
So, Simon, in terms of the bigger names, your coach, your football manager, your general manager of football operations in Peter Bell, do they remain at the club at the moment?
Yeah, so anyone who's, as I mentioned, of that 25 FTE equivalent of staff members left, they're all on, you know, reduced hours, varying from sort of 0.2 through to 0.8, depending on the level required for the role. So Justin and Peter certainly are. Remaining, it's important to have elements of your senior people, but certainly at reduced capacity as we look to get through this time.
We've had a phone call this morning, and I know you'd have had many, and we've had a number of texts all on the same issue. I'm not sure you've got to this point just yet, but what can you tell your supporters in terms of their memberships? What steps have been taken? Are people allowed to get a refund? Will you be offering a refund? Do you know anything along those lines?
That's the process we're turning our attention to now, Clint. We're quietly optimistic. I mean, it's challenging given the one certainty about this whole crisis has been uncertainty, and that remains to a fair degree. But clearly with some of the announcements yesterday and, you know, dealing with the AFL on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, they're determined and we're certainly enthusiastic about maintaining the rest of the 17-round season. So there's 144 games to go plus finals. And, you know, the players have agreed for that to potentially go all the way through to December. So we're certainly hopeful of delivering on a season of sorts. It's going to look different to any season previous and be somewhat unrecognisable, but there's still enthusiasm to do that. So clearly there's a bit of unknown as to what we're going to deliver because that's not a guarantee. But to your point, Clint, I mean, we don't exist without our members. So what we'll be working through over the coming weeks is to establish the varying options that we can provide. Clearly on April 27, we get a further advice from the AFL who will review the matter and see whether we can come back from May 31 or whether this postponement has to push out a little bit further. That'll provide us some clarity, but you know, we're going to make sure that we're there for our members and particularly those who you know, might be disadvantaged significantly or being, you know, really impacted by this, and we'll deal on case-by-case scenarios, ensure that we'll look after our members as best as we possibly can.
8 minutes to 11 o'clock on ABC Perth and WA. This is Sports Talk. Our guest is Simon Garlick, the Fremantle CEO. Mark Duffield.
Simon, what does your day look like now? Do you still going to work? Do you work from home? Tell us about the 9 to 5 for Simon Garlick as it stands.
Yeah, it's remotely from here on in, Duff. I had to go in a couple of times this week, but we're, like everyone, looking to do, we've got to make sure we keep in the back of our mind that football's our world and it's, crucial to everything that we do, but this is a much broader issue and a community issue. So we've got to ensure we're doing as we're required and as we're directed to and practicing all the key implements of hygiene and the rest of it. And part of that is ensuring that we work remotely wherever possible. So that's been a large part of my week and will continue to be going forward. It's really now zeroing in. Last week was a week like no other for all the obvious reasons, because not only did we have the day we had on Tuesday, but then ensuring that we worked with each individual person to understand how it was impacting them and what we could do, and particularly those, obviously, from the stood down perspective and how we can assist them in gaining further, whether it be government assistance or supplementary employment or whatever it was. So that's been clearly the focus, which I'm sure you could understand. So it hasn't been a usual week, but just towards the back end, Mark, a couple of priorities for me and a couple of key dominoes of the player arrangement and what that looks like. And obviously had an announcement yesterday of an agreement, which we now need to dig down into the detail of and make sure it covers all of our players as effectively as we can. And then the next one is how the funding arrangements work going forward as a code. So that's something that we'll work on over this weekend, and I'll make sure we liaise with our board so they're comfortable with that on Monday. But then it's really focusing, Duff, on the key tasks that we need to work through. And a lot of that is ensuring we communicate regularly with our members. So part of those reduced resources certainly are in our digital and communications and marketing team to ensure that we're keeping them as informed as we possibly can. We have to figure out what occurs, as alluding to Clint's earlier question, in relation to the revenue that we've already received from our member base, that we were planning to from match ticket sales and the like, and trying to, whilst the cost base has been what our immediate focus has been, clearly the revenue component is something that's going to be a significant priority for us over coming weeks as time becomes a bit more clear.
Mick Malthouse, the floor is yours. Mick.
Hi, Simon. There's a couple of questions. As I said to Adam Simpson, there's a million questions. Just a couple off the top. You're a good football person. You've been around for a while. You've played, you've administered, you've done everything. Can the current list cope with, say, 35, 36 players as opposed to the 45? Yeah, that's in form and in injuries. And secondly to that, the way the players have come out this week and they've had this agreement with the AFL, can you afford to pay what they're demanding?
Yeah, they're two great questions, Mick, and ones we clearly, as little as a week ago, weren't even contemplating, but are certainly swimming around in all of our minds now. I suppose the broad answer to your question is life as we know it has changed, and it's changed significantly, and whether that changes forever is something that we just won't know for a period of time. But, I've obviously been focused on our people and those that have been so impacted so significantly this week for the most part, but you can't help but your brain move forward a bit, Mick, and just thinking a little bit about if there's a significant reduction in lists, what does that mean from a priority perspective and, age demographic and younger speculative players or players coming to the end and that type of thing. So there's so many combinations and permutations that you'd have to consider. And you're right, it's a really interesting one, and it's going to be a challenging one for the Players Association in the sense that what can the game afford? I think that's going to be a bit of a measuring stick for us moving forward.
Yeah, so just on that, there's a couple of things that's come out of that. Do you think the players have shot themselves in the foot here? Because I know the senior players will look after themselves. They're not overly worried about the younger players coming through. But can the industry, one, maintain having 40 players, two, maintain those wages? When things are in clover, of course you can, but when it's not, it's not. So are you, are you generally disappointed with the outcome of this 50% over 2 months and then perhaps, you know, readjustment of 30% and the 50% by the end of the year?
It's too early to tell, Mick, I think, in reality, in terms of the what the implications of this are. I know from speaking, you know, our playing group, just only can speak on behalf of Fremantle, I know our senior playing group were particularly concerned about ensuring that their younger teammates are looked after through this. So what we've got overnight is clearly an outline of an agreement that's been reached between the PA and the players, and that's a positive thing in that sense that, okay, the AFL have deemed that in this short-term period anyway, of there's no games for the next 4 to 6 weeks in the short term, the game can afford this amount, and the players have agreed to that. So the last thing we wanted was a stalemate and to get drawn out and ugly. So we've got clarity on that point. We need to dive down a bit, and I certainly, you know, and all the other CEOs haven't yet got enough detail to understand the absolute detail of it. But the one thing that I know our senior playing group, and I'd imagine it'd be consistent across the board, is that it's different for some of them. You know, we're talking 10, 12, 14-year players who've managed to set themselves up financially. I heard you talking just before I came on, Mick, about some of the challenges that the GAA might not have that we have based on their situation. The ones we really want to make sure that are okay are the players on middle to lower tier incomes and are just starting out their career. So that'll be an immediate focus. But the question as to how sustainable it is, your point's a really good one. I think the game itself will work this out, and you know, whether that means fewer players on the list and what that impacts in the salaries, it's a bit difficult to answer right now, but it's certainly going to be something that we all have to confront sooner rather than later.